Hello and welcome aboard another episode of the Gallant Says podcast, which airs weekdays around 6 o'clock Central Time until about 6:30 Central Time on youtube.com/PaulGallant and twitch.tv/GallantSays. You can also get it wherever you get your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and SoundCloud. The next day, we are recording on May 2nd of 2023. I want to start off by giving somebody a lot of credit because I think that they just officially pulled off, can I say the greatest when Antonio Brown exists? I don't know, but one of the great years in sports asshole history. Give a round of applause for the one and only Dylan Brooks, who you probably had never heard of until a year ago. Maybe a little ambience in the background will set the mood. Brooks in Game 2 of the 2022 Western Conference Finals, almost a year ago today, was given a flagrant 2 after chasing down Golden State Warriors player Gary Payton, hitting him in the head when he was in the air while going up for a fast break layup. Payton fell, fractured his left elbow, and Brooks was suspended for Game 3 of the series. The Grizzlies would go on to lose that series in 6 games. In December of 2022, December 17th, Dylan Brooks had a nice moment offensively. You would think, okay, this is a guy who can actually score a little bit. But let's fast forward to February 2nd. Brooks was assessed a flagrant 2 foul and ejected for punching Cleveland Cavaliers player Donovan Mitchell in the groin. Oh, something he's pretty familiar with. He was suspended without pay. March 4th, he was suspended 1 game without pay for his 16th technical foul of the season. March 17th, he was fined $35,000 by the league after he shoved the cameraman to the floor during a game 2 games earlier against the Miami Heat. On March 21st, Dylan Brooks was suspended for 1 game without pay for receiving 2 more technical fouls, which pushed his total to 18 for the year. And then, of course, we have everything that has happened over the course of the last week or so. Holy shit, did Dylan Brooks make a mess of his life in this series between the Grizzlies and the Lakers. Let's just start off with the super infamous moment that led to pretty much the entire sports world uniting against this guy. It's not that he's just dressed like an asshole in this moment right here that you're about to see on your screen, twitch.tv/GallantSays, youtube.com/PaulGallant for those listening in podcast form. He is wearing these white sunglasses that look absolutely preposterous. Remember, he is in a locker room. Here are the comments that started off his very, very shitty last 10 days or so.
And when they started making a run.
There are some people, Lakers are making that run. They get it to 14. You and LeBron have that exchange. There are people out there that say, maybe you shouldn't do that with one of the better players in the game. What were you thinking?
I don't care. He's old. I was waiting for that. I was expecting him to do that game 4, game 5. He wanted to say something when I got my 4th foul. He shouldn't have said that earlier on. I poke bears. I don't respect no one until they come and give me 40.
Oh my God, Jesus Christ. So many fucking stupid things along the way in that statement, no? I mean, so many fucking dumb things. I mean, let's just start off saying that LeBron's old. LeBron is a lot of things. Fake. Lies a lot for no reason. But you can't say that that guy who's got a lot of doesn't have much tread left on the tires. Is that how the tire reference works? That fucking guy's been one of the best players in basketball history for pretty much the entire time he's been in the league. He's still a damn good player. So you're going to say this going into a series when you, the Memphis Grizzlies, are renowned for being a bunch of shit-talking frauds. So you say this. You go on a little bit later to say, I poke bears. Should you poke a bear? When has it ever been a good idea to poke a bear? Panda bear? With a bamboo stick? Maybe. Poking an actual bear. That's fucking dumb. And I think he realizes that antagonizing someone like LeBron James is going to lead to the ultimate sad reversal of fortunes. Brooks said, until you get 40 on me, you can't talk. The Grizzlies lost their closeout game by 40 points. So in the very next game that Dillon Brooks and the Grizzlies played against the Lakers after winning that game one, LeBron destroys Brooks. And after the game, Brooks refuses to speak to the media, which is only going to make things worse. The next day, he decided, you know what? I've had a change of heart. I am going to speak. I am going to show the media what's what. Here he is a couple of days later.
You've been dealing with this for the past few years. What is this? What do you mean by that?
The media making me a villain. The fans making me a villain. And then that just creates a whole different persona on me. So now you think I intended to hit LeBron James in the nuts. I'm playing basketball, a basketball player. So if I intended, and that's whatever the whatever is in the Flagrant 2 category of having a Flagrant 2, and you think I did that, that means you think I'm that type of person. And that's why I don't rate Mark Taylor at all.
Okay, well, look, there's a lot of other reporters not named Mark Taylor. And burying the lead a little bit here, sorry, got lost in the shuffle with all of the track record I wrote off. He's saying the media is creating his actions. Dude, if you got an entire Wikipedia write-up of all the dumb stuff you've done, antagonistic stuff that you've done, might not be a media thing. This might be an everybody thinks you're an a-hole thing because of the actions that you did. And in that game, he was ejected, perhaps baited by LeBron James, who definitely embellished when he incidentally, I think, hit LeBron in the nether regions. He gets thrown from the game. And from that moment on, everyone's just looking at Dillon Brooks like he's a giant a-hole. And then he comes out after not meeting with the media, blaming the perception that everyone has of him on the media. Look, Dillon, I mean, stop flagrant fouling people. It's that simple. You broke a dude's elbow, you punched Donovan Mitchell in the groin, and you punched LeBron James in the groin, all in the same calendar year. So after the Grizzlies ultimately lose to the Los Angeles Lakers, here is what Brooks had to say. Hang on a second. We're going to have to figure out some things when it comes to playing audio off of this mixer board. But here we go. One more time. Here is Dillon Brooks.
Do you regret making those comments after game two?
No. No, that's who I am. You know, I don't regret it. I'm a competitor. I compete. You know, I don't think it got LeBron geeked up. You know, is he back in the playoffs?
Let's pause. You don't think it got LeBron geeked up? Okay. Okay, bro. Whatever you got to tell yourself. Skeeter on Twitter says, on YouTube.com/Paul Gallant says, bring him to the Rockets. We need culture. Do you want the Rockets culture to be that of a sixth grader in a locker room committing chemical warfare crimes upon the locker room by spraying Axe everywhere and the occasional sacking somebody? I don't know if that's what we want young Jalen Green and young Jabari Smith Jr. to be doing, and I'm not implying that's what Dylan Brooks does behind closed doors. He did say he pokes bears. Kind of weird thing to say when you think about it. Back to the actual topic at hand. I don't think that's going to help the culture out. I don't, you know? So anyway, Dylan Brooks has had a rough day to wrap up this pretty crazy calendar year. Sham Sharania of Yahoo Sports reported earlier today that, quote, the Memphis Grizzlies have informed pending unrestricted free agent Dylan Brooks that he will not be brought back under any circumstances. Jesus! I mean, that's a little harsh. No, way harsh, Ty. Under any circumstances. And I think a lot of it had to do with everything that he did in this series, but also all of his actions over the course of the past calendar year. No one likes him. The Grizzlies have a bad reputation across the NBA. I mean, I guess the one thing that you maybe could argue is that good for Ja Morant in a year where he's flashing a pea shooter at a nightclub, not talking about his peen, I'm talking about a tiny little gun. And on top of that, an incident where he allegedly punched the shit out of a teenager and then decided to go inside his house, come back out with a gun after he confronted him, this teenager, in a game of pickup basketball for some reason. Dylan Brooks is now overshadowing Ja Morant. Honestly, that's great teamwork, but I think we're now at a moment in time for Dylan Brooks where he's going to be persona non grata. Some team's going to sign him. I hope to God it's not the Houston Rockets, because this guy's just a massive asshole. And there's a lot of people like that in life, and maybe you want one of them on your team, but what's the one redeeming quality Dylan Brooks brings to the table? Because here's what makes matters even worse. He wanted a bigger role on offense, and he's not good at offense. He was mad about his role, saying, I was just there to 3-and-D, shoot and play defense. I got way more to my game than that. Well, yeah, the flagrants are an interesting dynamic of your game, but what else? What else are you bringing to the table? Not a whole lot. So there you go, everybody. That is Dylan Brooks wrapping up one of the great asshole years in sports history. Speaking of assholes, I thought it would be appropriate to transition into talking about the Met Gala, which took place last night. The Met Gala is peak United States in 2023. It's expensive attention whoredom with far too much actual interest in it from people who didn't even get to go because they can't go and will never get to go. If you like fashion, okay, great. Many would argue I like fashion. I do appear to be quite the metrosexual. Some would argue I'm gay. But I have zero interest in this fucking show. Because it would be one thing if people were wearing cool stuff. But when you have assholes like Jared Leto wearing essentially a cat suit, look at this. If you're watching twitch.tv/Gallant says youtube.com/Paul Gallant, he dressed up like a mascot cat. Why? I don't know. There was supposed to be a theme, an homage to the guy who took over for Coco Deschanel, who was a renowned Nazi slut. Seriously, look it up. She banged Nazis. Gotta do what you gotta do, am I right? Anyway, what you have right here is an actor dressed as a cat. You also had another person dressed as a cat. Look at what this gal did to her nose. You can see right here that she gave herself a cat nose. I don't know who this is. I don't know what they're trying to do. But this is just an asshole off. Sorry to throw this word around so much, but this is an event for super rich people to, I guess, meet with one another, mingle with one another, or to just have people take pictures of them. It's a weird, over-the-top costume party. Maybe you're wondering right now, what the hell is the Met Gala? The Met Gala, or Met Ball, formerly called the Costume Institute Gala, or the Costume Institute Benefit, is an annual fundraising gala held for the benefit of the Metropolitan Museum of Arts Costume Institute in New York City. Jesus, that's a long title. The Met Gala is popularly regarded as the world's most prestigious and glamorous fashion event and is known as fashion's biggest night. An invitation is highly sought after. Personalities who are perceived to be contemporaneously relevant to society. Oh my God, what a douchey sentence. Famous people, you could just say that. Among various professional spheres. Various professionals, just say famous people. Are invited to attend the Met Gala, organized by the fashion magazine Vogue. It's held the first Monday of May on the Upper East Side of Manhattan. Many of the attendees are depicted on the covers and pages of Vogue. Each year's event celebrates the specific theme of that year's Costume Institute exhibition, which sets the tone for the formal attire of the night. What was the tone last year with AOC? Tax the rich for the thing that cost $35,000 to go to? She pulled it off. She looks good. Gotta say it. If you argue with that, I don't know what to tell you. She does look good, but it's a hard-o move. Classic politician. Classic attention horse. 2023 peak American society. Going to one of these things, dressing unironically like an asshole, and, I don't know, I guess growing art, growing fashion. It's kind of funny that when Trey Parker and Matt Stone, the co-creators of South Park, went to the Oscars when South Park, Bigger, Badder, and Uncut was released. I think they were there for a couple of their musical numbers, and they went there on acid and dressed up in cocktail dresses to make a joke of the entire thing. It's amazing that no one that is in this world goes into this ironically, unless that's what Jared Leto was trying to do. But it is just a weird, weird event, and I need to know more about it. So the theme for this year is Karl Lagerfeld, A Line of Beauty. Who the fuck is that? He is the guy who took over Coco de Chanel. I looked up his background and I was like, what are the odds this guy has some skeletons in the old closet? And guess what? Doesn't take that long to find it. So I went on his Wikipedia page, literally in the middle of a segment on the radio today, because I was talking about this on my show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Lagerfeld was born on September 10th of 1933 in Hamburg, Germany, to Elizabeth Niebalmann and businessman Otto Lagerfeld. They owned a company that produced and imported evaporated milk. So, 1933. It's an interesting time to be born in Germany, that's for damn sure. Interestingly, the next paragraph reads, Lagerfeld was known to misrepresent his birth year, claiming to be younger than his actual age. I wonder why. Would you want to be a 12-year-old survivor of World War II living in Germany when your parents may or may not have had Nazi ties? And would you maybe claim that you were born to somebody from Sweden and another woman by the name of Elizabeth of Germany? Would that potentially raise some red flags? And I guess something that just about everyone was a part of in Germany in the 1930s and 40s, but you will not be surprised to find out that per an autobiography that was done of Karl Lagerfeld, his parents were in the Nazi party. His dad was in it from 1933 to 1945. And in the biography that was made of him, Lagerfeld claims, even though he was 11 at the end of the war, that he wasn't aware of his parents' political leanings. And I guess he wasn't actually in the Hitler Youth. I guess that was never able to be proven. You would think that a young person growing up in Germany, based off of stereotypes alone, would probably be in the Hitler Youth. But this guy is proof that America is a land of opportunity. You can come to the United States as an ex-Nazi and you can make the world your oyster. You can do it. So a shout out to Karl Lagerfeld, and much like everybody at the Met Gala, I wanted to honor his memory. I did. I think it's important to honor the memory of relevant people. It's a really funny paragraph as well that's on Jewishinsandiego.org. And it talks about Lagerfeld's greatest contribution to the Chanel brand. Get a load of this. Lagerfeld's greatest service was his ability to erase the negative associations with Chanel, including the founder's anti-Semitism. How do you do that? In fact, his contributions to the brand's aesthetic and ethos was so extensive that his work often eclipsed that of Coco Chanel herself. Wait, but what did he do? Many books written about the Chanel collections over the years often overlook the early years pre-Lagerfeld. Indeed, it was only in recent years that the depths of Chanel's involvement in Nazism has come to light. Lagerfeld made the brand so iconic and inclusive that it was easy to forget that Chanel was a racist who was banging Nazis. And it doesn't say it quite like that, but that's essentially what this article is implying. Well, he was after her and people forgot about her. What a contribution that was. My God. Bad. Sports Hulk is claiming breaking. Dylan Brooks just signed with the Chinese team. Wouldn't be surprised if he went over there next. All right, something took place a week ago, and I wanted to do this on the show, and I'll be honest, for those who are tuning in live right now, I had been lazy over the course of the past week, but you might have seen that Tucker Carlson and his time at Fox News has come to an end. It does seem like he was pushed out. Who pushed him out specifically? I'm not sure. I've read a bunch of rumors, and I'm not going to pretend to know about said rumors, but I did want to share something with you that not everyone has seen. And you're going to be able to see this right now. Twitch.tv/Gallant says YouTube.com/Paul Gallant. I once was on the Tucker Carlson show. I wasn't brought on as a guest. I was brought on as a prop by old Tucker. In case you've never seen this before, here you go. Paul Gallant's appearance on the Tucker Carlson Show.
Last month, a radio show host in Seattle called Paul Gallant mocked reports that his city was descending into chaos. These were peaceful protests, he suggested. On Twitter, Gallant reported that he saw, quote, no burning, pillaging, or deaths. Of course, those things were happening. They existed. We show you tape of it at the time. But Gallant pretended otherwise. We don't know why. We'd have to assume because he thought it would help his team. Then the rioters showed up in the building where he lives, in his apartment building, and they destroyed the Starbucks downstairs. And that scared him. Now Gallant says he's buying a gun. Ah, it turns out it's not so easy to lie about violence when it's aimed at you.
Now, we're going to do a whole episode talking about what actually happened that day, because I've yet to actually share my entire side of the story. There's a lot of extra context to it and a lot of extra video that I have. I'll just say that I was advised by certain folks to not say anything about what I went through that day. I'm still pissed off about that, but that's neither here nor there. You got to move on. You can't remain bitter for your entire life. Here's what I got to say about Tucker leaving Fox News. He is going to get bigger by leaving traditional news media. He will. And either you're ecstatic about that or you're pissed off about that. It really depends on whether or not you like him. I don't really have a strong opinion on him. I think a lot of people are of the belief that I would hate Tucker Carlson. And I hate the way that he covered that story. I feel like he had a very, very easy outlet to get specifically in touch with me through a guest that he had on minutes later on his show, the very next segment. That guy was my coworker. And we talked often about our thoughts on the city of Seattle. I was kind of frustrated with others who I'm close with who thought it was great that I made it on the show. No, my reputation got slandered. I was getting death threats, whatever. I don't want to focus on that, though. I feel like when it comes to the actual people that do television news with a heavy dose of opinions, sadly, Tucker's not the worst. I'll admit, I've watched the show a few more times than I care to admit. A lot of it has to do with the fact that whenever I go to visit my dad's watching the show. I sit back and I'm generally on my phone, but sitting in the room drinking a glass of wine while my dad gets super into it. Every now and then he does say something interesting. There are things he says that are inflammatory by nature that are, I think, designed to pander to the audience that is watching his television show. But that is a show that was very successful. A show that, for most people, was watched by people that are, what, 40s, 50s, 60s? Now there's a vacuum on that network. Who knows who's going to step in? It's not going to be the same. It's just not. It takes a really long time to build up that level of trust. Bill O'Reilly was the guy before. Then it was Tucker Carlson. Who's going to be next? I don't know. I don't really care on that front. I just know that even if he's leaving this ratings behemoth and has legal stuff that he has to navigate through to go do his own thing or get paid for better or worse, I think a lot of people are going to be willing to sign up for whatever he does next. So if you're upset that Fox pushed him out, this is going to work out for you. You're going to get unfiltered Tucker Carlson. We actually saw an unfiltered version of Tucker Carlson on his very own Twitter account. And in case you haven't seen that video, and I know some people are going to get pissed off for me playing this. Look, I'm just being a week behind the current events of the day. Anyway, let me play this video right now. Twitch.tv/Gallant says YouTube.com/Paul Gallant.
Good evening. It's Tucker Carlson. One of the first things you realize when you step outside the noise for a few days is how many genuinely nice people there are in this country. Kind and decent people, people who really care about what's true, and a bunch of hilarious people also, a lot of those. It's got to be the majority of the population, even now. So that's heartening. The other thing you notice when you take a little time off is how unbelievably stupid most of the debates you see on television are. They're completely irrelevant. They mean nothing. In 5 years, we won't even remember that we had them.
We'll pause for a second here. He is right. If you watch any debate on television, and I'm not just talking about between pundits, because who gives a fuck about those? Whether it's First Take, a sports talk show, or, I don't know, some other version of this. What you see online, or excuse me, on television, when it comes to debates between politicians, is such a disservice. And I get that not a lot of us have a lot of time these days. You know, we're all working hard. We've got families. We've got other things to focus on. You're probably not going out of your way to research everything that's going on in the news so that you can be the best voter that you can be, you know? I don't know that many people are doing that. So you're looking for ways to watch content that's short, sweet, and concise. But when you watch a televised presidential debate or political debate, you will notice that there's no way that anyone can possibly expand or have a conversation about the things that they are trying to do. It's just not possible if you're being held to 60 seconds or less. It's one of the reasons I don't like television as a whole. It's one of the reasons that I work in sports radio instead of TV. You can't expand on thoughts. You can't. all you can do is say something quickly, which leads to platitudes and pandering and bullshit. So, yeah, a lot of these television debates are just fucking awful. And it sucks. It's frustrating. So he's not wrong in highlighting that. Anyway, this was Tucker Carlson continued on his little Twitter spiel.
Trust me, as someone who's participated. And yet at the same time, and this is the amazing thing, the undeniably big topics, the ones that will define our future, get virtually no discussion at all. War, civil liberties, emerging science, demographic change, corporate power, natural resources. When was the last time you heard a legitimate debate about any of those issues? It's been a long time. Debates like that are not permitted in American media. Both political parties and their donors have reached consensus on what benefits them, and they actively collude to shut down any conversation about it.
And pause again. Again, let's just try to look at this from a fair perspective. Because I know some people are going to watch him and say, fuck that guy. I don't blame you. I mean, I've had my own thoughts from time to time of fuck that guy because of the way that he portrayed me in that story. But doesn't it make sense? Doesn't it make sense that perhaps news stations with corporate interests that are being paid advertising dollars would perhaps be slanted in specific ways to steer away from things that would bother the advertisers or bother people that are higher up on a political totem pole? And it's one of the many reasons that I think that when Tucker leaves Fox News, now that he actually is gone from Fox News, once he figures out what the hell he's doing, he is going to be more watched than he was before. Because I think more and more people are getting sick and tired of, let alone commercials being rammed down their throats, but basically the news that we are presented every single day. I've been reading this book called Hate.Incorporated. It has a picture of Sean Hannity and Rachel Maddow on the cover. And it's been rather illuminating, written by Matthew Taibbi. Maybe some of you guys think he's a hack. It does seem like today everyone has to have a specific opinion one way or the other on a journalist who is supposed to be independent. Most people, I think, are going to look at a journalist, and if he's saying things that go against their team, they're probably going to think that person's bad. But this book has been really interesting in just highlighting the way that news media works. And news media does work in a way where it's obviously meant to play off of your fears and also to play off of your emotions, specifically your anger. A fresh slab of juicy meat is going to be thrown out on your table. You're going to eat that shit so quick. And once that meat is gone, you know what happens? You don't even know. You don't even know what was in the meat. You're being given a thing of juicy meat, but in reality, it's a hot dog. It's filled with all sorts of bullshit, probably. And once you actually dissect and dive into it and take a look at the contents, you're probably going to realize weeks later, months later, it wasn't the best idea to go as hardcore in on that disgusting hot dog as you did at first, because you're going to know that there were some facts missing from the story. You just saw the glitzy headline and no one actually did any follow-up research, and no one ever does any of that follow-up research. And that's one of the things that frustrates me about news media. And I don't want to sound like a conspiracy theorist here, but I used to have a great deal of respect for people that work in news media. I used to think that these people were doing a job that actually mattered, and because they were doing a job that actually mattered, that they took things seriously, and there was no way in hell that they were going to perhaps misrepresent the facts for some shadowy figure or for some political party. But then I've learned over the years that that's just not the case. And as someone who's in sports media, thinking that I'm lesser than these people who are working a real job, to see that this has been the case all along has been rather disheartening. So it's one of those things that you might hate Tucker Carlson, but he outlined some good points there. But I might be getting too far into the weeds here. So I want to play something for you to get us on the way out. I used to listen to this podcast called Come Town. It's no longer called Come Town. It's a funny name, right? It is now called The Adam Friedland Show. It's a bunch of comedians on it. You used to have Nick Stavros on it. You had Nick Mullins. Check that. Nick Mullen. I always confuse Nick Mullen with Nick Mullins. And then you have Adam Friedland. Nick Mullen is the funniest person, I think, on that show. He does incredible impersonations. And one of my favorite impersonations that he does is one of Tucker Carlson. So I figured that would be a good way to hit the road. Hang on a second. Let me transition over to it. There we go.
This isn't a joke. There's naked pictures of me all over the internet. Like what you see? I hope you do. Because there's plenty more where that came from. What is going on? Who's jacking off to this? It's not me. Maybe it's you. Maybe it's your family.
So when I started doing impersonations of Tucker Carlson on the air, this was essentially just a really high, a very low quality ripoff of Nick Mullins' Tucker Carlson impersonation. But Nick Mullins is fucking hilarious, and I very much enjoyed that show. Anyway, yeah, we're going to see what ends up happening to Tucker Carlson, but I imagine he is going to grow bigger in power. If Joe Rogan is somehow a voice that is looked to for rational thought in 2023, do you think a former journalist who was getting massive ratings on an overnight television show might be able to do the same thing if he's able to figure out the new medium? I think he will, and you might not like it, but I don't think he's gone by any means. And some of you guys were a tad too celebratory with that. Anyway, let's take a look at the comments section before we hit the road. Twitch.tv/Gallant says YouTube.com/Paul Gallant. It seems like a lot of the people from ESPN 97.5's Twitch channel have come over to hang out. Basketball Maven saying your internet isn't working that good. Yeah, that has been a problem today, and I apologize for that. It has been not very good. We're going to try to figure that out. I've been having issues all day with it. I was doing a streaming call a little bit earlier and something was up with it. So try to get that fixed. Hopefully the show wasn't too much of an absolute shit show. But big thanks to everybody who tuned in. We do it weekdays 6 to 6:30, twitch.tv/Gallant says, or youtube.com/Paul Gallant. It's available in podcast form, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and SoundCloud. Until tomorrow, 6 o'clock. So long, farewell, have yourselves a wonderful Tuesday. Peace.